This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102!
Laser beam! Ooh,
tight! Inevitable!
Walk off, baby! This is the best!
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Shine and Lyons here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Hanging out with you until 1 o'clock, and then Rob Bradford, the Baseball is a Boring program, will take over from there. Did Red Sox in the first hour, a lot of Patriots in football in the following 2 hours, but let's get back into something a little bit different here, Lyons. Let's get into some Celtics, because just the other day, Damian Lillard signed a 3-year, $42 million contract with the Portland Trail Blazers, a guy that reportedly, according to Gary Washburn, Jason Tatum had been talking to, trying to quote-unquote recruit, bring over here. We had talked about it a lot on our program. It would have been a great idea. We would have loved the idea of getting Damian Lillard in here. He got more money, I think, than some people were expecting, especially since he was already getting paid by the Milwaukee Bucks. Are you upset that the Celtics didn't get Lillard to come to Boston?
Not for that price, but it's disappointing they didn't get him, because I think Dame Lillard, look, he's going to miss the entire year. But I think he could have helped them, again, spring of 2027, with two things. I think if he had been your first guard off the bench, because let's say Derek White and Peyton Pritchard are your two starters at that point, and he's your first guard off the bench, that I think that's really good.
Yeah.
But also, he's a guy that late in a game, right, we all know Dame time, if you need to close out a game and get a couple key baskets, and you have Tatum and Brown and White and Dame Lillard on the floor as four out of your five, then I feel really confident they'll find a way to score late. And it's something we saw in the Knicks series. I know the big thing was Porzingis was hurt and they were shooting too many threes and all that. But at the end of those games, when they needed some key baskets, they couldn't get them. And I think Lillard's a guy that you can would get those key baskets for. So it's disappointing in that end.
Yeah, and I think to me it was just an indication that clearly winning a championship ring wasn't all that high on Damian Lillard's priority list. Like, I think this move going back to Portland is not setting him up for a chance of getting a ring before he retires.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because, I mean, and I have a lot of respect for him going back to where his family is.
Yep.
And grew up in Portland. But I think you just look at the West. With him and Jrue Holiday in a year from now, like, they're a playoff team, but it's like...
But they'll also be another year older.
Right. I think they're like a 6 or 7 seed at best, right? Like, OKC's not going anywhere. Denver isn't. I'm not a believer in Luka, but the Lakers will still be good enough to be a top 4 seed. Clippers, same thing. Like, these teams aren't going anywhere. Houston's going to be really freaking good for the next few years, too.
Yeah, and it's a bummer, because I felt like he was the perfect fit for what the Celtics would need. Not this upcoming season, but the following season, in that, like, he's a great shooter. And so even if athletically he wasn't the same, he was still going to be able to shoot from just about anywhere on the floor. And having that paired with White and Brown and Tatum and playing that Missoula ball of just chucking up a million threes, like, I felt like he would have fit in really good here. Now, I think the question becomes, will the Celtics make any more moves coming up here? Like, there's some discussions. Could they still flip Simons? Are they going to go out and try and find a big? Are they just going to ride it out with Nemias Keita and Luka Garza? Kind of, what do you feel like their plan is here going forward as we approach a little bit more deeper into the offseason, getting ready for next season.
It feels like they're largely done. Like, Simons is the one guy, but I wonder if Simons will be a trade deadline guy. And they're going to kind of assess, like, if they're playing really well near the trade deadline, maybe they want to hang on to him for a playoff run. If they're not playing well and they're a borderline lottery team, then I think they move on from him no matter what. Because I look at their backcourt. Derek White is your best guard, obviously a starter. And some people think Simons is going to start and Pritchard will be the sixth man. I could see that going either way. I think Pritchard's a better defender than him, so there's value to having him be there as the starter. But either way, it's you have Pritchard and White. So if you end up having to deal Simons for front court help, I think you'll be okay. And it feels like they've been kind of lukewarm on side. Like, he's a pretty good player. Like, that's a good return, I think, for Jrue Holiday.
Guy that wants to shoot threes fits right into what Joe Mazzulla wants to do.
They've talked about, like, oh, he's a good player and this and that, but I haven't heard a ton of gushing about, oh, he's a Celtic and this long-term, which they talk about that with Tatum and White and Brown and all these other guys. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's another move. It just, I don't know if I see a path right now for them to make some big change. I just think a lot of this hangs on what Tatum's recovery timeline is.
So now you look at that recovery timeline, and in the meantime, Jaylen Brown is going to kind of be your number one option. We talked about this a little bit on the morning show. Jaylen Brown's now made kind of a couple appearances, given a couple quotes. He was on with, like, Kyrie Irving on one of his streams, saying you haven't seen him at his best because he's kind of, you know, acquiesced to being a team player. And then, like, he even said to Noah Dalzell, he feels like he's one of the most talented players on the planet. Do you feel like this year from Jaylen Brown could be a statement year, and will that create any more chaos for the Boston Celtics going forward?
Well, better be a statement year. I mean, he's a supermax player and finals MVP, right? I think the best case scenario for the Celtics is, and I know I'm crossing sports, they're the 2012 Pittsburgh Penguins, where Crosby missed most of the year with a concussion and Malkin won the MVP. And I'm not saying Brown's going to win the MVP, but he's a first or second team all-NBA level player this year. Like, to me, that's the ceiling. And I've said this before on the radio, and some people disagree with me. Some think I'm nuts. There's a real chance Tatum's back in March. And if he's back in March and Brown's playing well and Pritchard's playing like an all-star, you can go deep in the playoffs.
So I get that.
There's a lot of contingencies there,
but
obviously.
But if he's playing like a first-team, second-team all-NBA player and Jason Tatum comes back, is he going to want to go back to what they had been doing when Tatum was healthy, or is he going to want to stay in control? Because I think that's the friction that you create if Jaylen Brown is really good, which I think is possible. Don't get me wrong. I don't know that it's a guaranteed thing. I don't know that it's the most likely thing. But I think there is a world, if you played this out 100 times, I think there's a universe where Jaylen Brown is really, really good. And maybe he's close, borderline first team all-NBA.
Can he even be the ninth or tenth best player in the NBA?
Yeah, and then
second team all-NBA.
Does that create more friction between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Because everybody believes this is Jason Tatum's basketball team, but if Jaylen Brown comes out and shows you that he's borderline or first-team All-NBA, maybe that discussion changes a little bit.
And we even saw in the finals against Dallas, Tatum led the team in points, rebounds, and assists, but Brown was fantastic, especially defensively, had the two biggest moments of the series, arguably in Game 2 and Game 3, so he wins finals MVP, right? So, I mean, it's an interesting thing with the Jays because people have always talked, at least outside the team, like, oh, is there tension? Are you going to keep both? These guys have gotten along the entire time they've been together. I'm not telling you they're best friends, but they've gotten along fine the entire time they've been together.
Yeah, but there's been some quotes here and there from Jaylen Brown that
was upset when they offered him for Durant to Brooklyn, and I understand that. Like, you know, if you're Jaylen Brown, like, Kevin Durant is a Hall of Famer, I get it, but, I mean, if you're JB, you're like, hey, man, I've been here, and I'm really good. I don't want to be traded for Durant. Like, so I look at the situation when Tatum comes back, whether that's March, whether that's next October, I don't know. Well, whenever that may be, I think maybe there could be a little tension there, but also there's no more Porzingis, there's no more Holiday. I think there's going to be more touches to go around for Tatum and Brown, like when Tatum comes. So let's just say Tatum comes back in March, okay? Best case scenario, and they're pretty good. Pritchard and White will be big parts of it,
sure,
but it's going to be Tatum and Brown's show, and there's no Porzingis, there's no Holiday. So I think they'll naturally get more touches that way. And I would even think, I think the smart thing for the Celtics is when Tatum first comes back, to have Brown be more of the alpha anyway, so Tatum can kind of work his way back. Now, I don't know if that'll happen, but I think that would be the smart thing to do. And it's something that they've done a great job of when they've played together.
Yeah, because I think if Jaylen Brown is driving the offense and he's having a lot of success and the team, by proxy, is also having a ton of success, I don't think he's going to want to relinquish that very easily. Like, he's not going to want to just go back to the way things were, where Tatum has the ball all the time and he's the one making the decisions, especially if he's having a lot of, if Jaylen Brown, that is having a lot of success without him.
And I think we've seen this a lot in the NBA. I mean, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green had some friction. Kobe and Shaq had friction. Jordan and Pippen had friction. Like, we've seen this quite a bit in the NBA when you have two stars, two guys that are, you know, upper echelon NBA, that there can be friction there. And I think we haven't seen a ton of it really to me with Tatum and Brown, but this would be an instance where it's something, it's for sure, Shime, it's something to monitor. Because how do they come back? And what if Tatum comes back and he's only 80% of what he was?
Because then, like, all of a sudden the conversation becomes, oh, well, is Jaylen Brown just better?
Right. But if Tatum comes back and he's 100% of what he was, he's the better player.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I think
we all agree that on a day-to-day basis, when Jason Tatum is 100%, when they're both 100%, like, Jason Tatum's just the better basketball player, which is why I think so many people believe that this is his basketball team. But I feel like there's a world, and I think it's bad for the Celtics, too, if... When it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't for the Celtics type thing, in that if Jaylen Brown comes out and is like first team all NBA, it's like, all right, now we got to deal with this. We got to really kind of treat this with kid gloves, the relationship between Tatum and Brown, and really kind of massage the situation to figure it out. And if Brown falls in his face and isn't great, then you're like, well, now we have this massive contract.
We have
tied
a super max
guy.
Right. But I think we've seen examples, and I think the Celtics are an example where your best player isn't your number one alpha leader. Like, to me, Jason Tatum's their best player, but I think Brown, as much as anyone, is the leader.
Much more the emotional leader.
But we've seen this before. When the Warriors had Kevin Durant, Durant was their best player. That was Steph Curry's team.
Yeah.
The 2014 Spurs, which I think Brad Stevens has said is like his favorite team ever, that was Tim Duncan's team, but Kawhi Leonard was the best player.
Yeah, but I also think that those guys understood. The situations were slightly different, right? Especially with Durant, because Durant came in as a free agent. Like, he knew what he was getting himself into when he signed the contract. He knew he was hunting a ring, and he was playing with a great team. And so that was, in this situation, like, both guys were drafted by this team. Even when you look at the Spurs.
And only a year apart.
And when you look at the Spurs, like, Kawhi was the new generation. Tim Duncan was on his
way
out.
They'd already won.
So that was a situation that was much more easy to manage. Whereas this is, like you pointed out, you draft Jaylen Brown third overall. It's like, all right, this is Jaylen Brown's team. Let's go. And then all of a sudden the next year you're drafting Jason Tatum third overall. No. This is Jason Tatum's team.
Yeah. And you would have taken Tatum first overall if no team would have traded with you anyway.
Exactly.
Like, that's how much they liked him. So, yeah, I mean, it's something to monitor, but I don't know. I look at this team and I say either they're going to be good in March and he'll come back and they'll go deep in the playoffs, or they're going to be a 9 or 10 team, maybe a lottery team, and we'll just be back to kind of where we were before in October. So a lot of this to me just hinges on what Tatum's recovery is.
Yeah, maybe like best case scenario, or like the best thing for the Celtics is that they're a middling team, right? They're kind of in that four seed spot where Brown's really good, but the rest of the team's only kind of pretty good. And then you're just like, you know what, Tatum, make sure you rest, take the whole year, come back the following year and try and be that number one team again.
And you wonder too, like, and we mentioned Anthony Simons, like, how does he factor into the, because if he comes out, let's say he's good and he gets better defensively, well, then that's a guy you probably want to keep around. But you're already hovering right above that second apron
now.
Yeah,
his contract's only one year,
right? So you'd have to extend him. You're already hovering right at that second apron. Like,
it's almost like a fait accompli that he gets traded at some point, whether it's before the season or at the deadline. It feels like he's going to get moved.
Unless, I think the only way he doesn't get traded is if they're at the deadline like a top three seed in the East and like actually good.
Yeah.
And I think that's a less
and
likely
Tatum
scenario.
Tatum is ahead of schedule.
Right. And I think those are less likely scenarios, but I agree with you. Otherwise, I think, because they just look at their front court. I mean, it's Georges Niang and Nemus Kata. No disrespect, but that's a far cry from Porzingis and
that's
Horford.
That's brutal.
Right? So, and even center, like even once Tatum comes back in a year, if you want to tell me Tatum can play the four sometimes and Brown the three, you still don't have a really good answer at center.
No.
And now with Cornette gone too. So, I think Simons is the guy. And you trade Simons, I think that can help your second apron problem too.
617-779-7937. Everything's on the table for you. Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics, it's all there and available for you to talk about with Shime and Lyons here, taking you up until 1 o'clock, and then we'll get you to Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford. We got Red Sox tonight at the Chicago Cubs for game two of the series. First pitch, 7:15, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco on the call. But Lions, let's actually get back into some Red Sox here. We're going to do that next on Boston Sports Original WEEI. But right now, here is Zach with what is trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox 10-game winning streak was snapped yesterday as they kicked off the unofficial second half with a 4-1 loss to the Cubs in Wrigley. Lucas Giolito got the start. He went 5 1/3, allowing 4 runs on 5 hits while striking out 6. The lone source of offense for the Red Sox, an RBI double off the bat of Roman Anthony in the third inning. Here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say following the loss.
I think we had chances, and then we made that base running mistake. You know, first and second, no outs. Alex hit the ball hard, and Abraham, you know, had the bad read, you know, and we got double up. You know, we put pressure on them, not enough. First inning, 2 walks. You know, we can talk about the swing, the homer, but the 2 walks before put us in a bad spot.
They'll look to bounce back tonight when Brian Baio takes the mound opposite Shota Imanaga for the Cubs. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Then Will Fleming and Mike Monaco will have the call of the game. First pitch from the friendly confines at 7:15. The Patriots have now signed their entire 2025 draft class after the team and second-round pick running back Travion Henderson agreed to a fully guaranteed contract yesterday. Henderson and the rest of the Patriots rookie class will report for training camp today, while the rest of the Pats roster reports on Tuesday, with practices that are open to the public beginning on Wednesday. The third round of the Open Championship underway in Northern Ireland. Scotty Scheffler leads the pack at 12 under through 7 holes, while Matt Fitzpatrick is right behind him at 11 under, also through 7. My name is Zach Cohen, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Shimon Lions coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spin Ball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Shine and Lions here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Lions, we talked a lot of Red Sox in the first hour, but I want to get back into some of the possibilities of the trade deadline and kind of what our expectations are for the Boston Red Sox here as they gear up for the second half of the season. They lost the first game after the All-Star break yesterday, 4-1 to the Chicago Cubs, and really, it was just a rusty first inning, man. It was Giolito comes out, walk, three-run dinger, and then the kind of rest was history. The Cubs didn't look back after that. The rest of the game, though, Giolito kind of settled in. The bullpen was good. You just couldn't manufacture enough runs to get it close. And so as we get closer to the trade deadline here, we're just, what, 12 days away from the deadline. What position do you think they need to add, most importantly, to make sure that this team is a playoff team?
I think it has to be a starting pitcher that can be a legit number two starter for you. And I know Brian Bello, since June 1st, has a 2.5 ERA, and he's been terrific, but we've seen him have some ups and downs before. Even Crochet's at 129 and a third innings right now, only threw 146 all of last year. Now, I think he'll be able to throw 175 or 180 plus, but we don't know that for sure. And I just look ahead to, who are the teams you're going to be fighting for a playoff spot for, and who are the teams that you could play in a playoff series? And if you look at Detroit, for example, well, Skubal's just as good as Crochet. And then they have two other pitchers on their staff in Reese Olson and Casey Mize, who Mize was an all-star. Olson would have been if he didn't get hurt. The Yankees have two all-star caliber starting pitchers. The Astros have two all-star caliber starting pitchers. I think the Red Sox are just a guy short, right? You got Crochet for game one. You got Bayo for game three. And you feel pretty good about both of those. You don't have the game two guy.
And so if you look across Major League Baseball, there's a lot of names thrown out right now. There's guys like Joe Ryan. I know Feinsand threw water on that one, but that was a name that was out there. Nathan Eovaldi, good friend of the city, his name has been out there. We brought up other guys like maybe like a Zach Gallen or a Spencer Strider or any of those guys. Is there one in particular that you really, really want the Boston Red Sox to really take a strong look at and give a few phone calls on?
The first call I would make if I were them would be to the Braves for Spencer Strider. And maybe they'll tell me to go screw, but the reason I'd call them is where they're at right now, because they're a team that's still set up pretty well for the long term, but Schwellenbach is out right now. Sale's out right now. They're 10 games below 500, probably out of a playoff spot this year. So do they want to add a Duran, or do they want to add a couple higher prospects or some young pitching, and they're willing to part with a guy in Strider who is 26 years old, has a few years of control left, but did miss last year with an injury? Are they willing to do that? That would be the first call I would make, and I'd be willing to give a pretty good package for him. Maybe not a Crochet to the White Sox level package, but I'd be willing to give a pretty solid package for him. And the next call would probably be to the Texas for Nate Eovaldi.
Yeah, I think that's the easy answer, right?
It's just Texas is 500, so they're fighting for a play. They might tell you, yeah, maybe we'll deal them, but we're going to wait until the end of July to figure it out.
Yeah, that's probably the case, but I think that's the guy I feel is the easiest, most accessible, and probably best fit, right? You know he fits in the city. You're very familiar with him. The team is very familiar with him. The city, the fans are. He was nails in a lot of big situations. He's having a great year with the Rangers. Again, the big question is just because the Rangers are 500, they're 3.5 games back of that wild card spot. Are they thinking that they can still contend and try and get in? And if that's the case, then they're probably not going to deal him for prospects. But if they lose, you know, next couple to Detroit, or they lose, five out of the next seven, whatever it may be, maybe then they're far more amenable to the idea of, okay, let's move on from Eovaldi, sell a little bit, get some prospects in here and load up and get ready for next year.
And it's the same kind of conversation with the Padres in that they've been linked to Jarren Duran constantly. I think Dylan Cease would be a nice rental to bring in. I know he's having a little bit of a down year now, but if I'm the Padres, why would I get rid of my second best starting pitcher when I'm trying to win a World Series? Like, it's kind of the same conversation, even if it's for Duran. So that's why there's going to be some impact starters out there. And I had someone text the show last night, Sandy Alcantara, do you buy low potentially on him? I'd be open to it. But I look at where the Red Sox are at, and they're much better than they were last year. But I think we're going to see in this stretch against the Cubs, the Phillies, the Dodgers, and of course the Astros and Padres after that, I think you're going to see Crochet hold his own. I think you're going to see Bayo have some good moments. But you're going to see, even like yesterday, Giolito wasn't bad, but he got outpitched. You know what I mean? Like, I think you're going to see.
He just had a bad inning.
I think you're going to see that there's that hole in that rotation, in that second spot behind Crochet.
617-779-7937. You can call in on that number. You can also text on that number as well. 508 text lines that I wanted to mention. I don't understand why we have to wait until the trade deadline if we can make trades now, make a team better now, instead of losing games and getting worse. And I would tend to agree.
Yeah, me too.
I think the issue is a lot of the guys you want to target our team are on teams that are still unsure if they're a playoff team or not. Like, there's certain teams like the Diamondbacks that you could target, or the Braves that you could call up and ask for players because they're 10 games under 500 or whatever their record is. And there's an opportunity there for you to make a trade now. But if you're looking at a team like the Padres or like the Rangers or a team like that that is in contention and or trying to decide if they're in contention, you may have to wait a week, 2 weeks, just shy of 2 weeks because the deadline's in 12 days, in order to see kind of where they're at and what they feel like is their future this season.
Yeah, and I think the Braves might tell you, no, we're going to be good in the future, so we're keeping all our guys. The Diamondbacks might say the same thing, but I think those are the teams to start with. Because I agree with the texter. I would much rather them make the trade on Monday and
sure.
go into that Philly series.
Like we all would.
Yeah. With
We wanted it done during the All-Star break,
that's
to be
true,
honest.
Right, with the reinforcements then. And we've seen them already be aggressive this year, just in the other direction. Like, trading Rafael Devers was a really aggressive move. Now, the frustration is they didn't get any guys that are going to help the Major League roster.
Yeah.
But the idea
of, get money.
That was an aggressive move. And Craig Breslow talked about it on Nesson a week or two after. He said, well, we've got this money to spend and we'll be aggressive, which is great. So now it comes down to who can you target? Who's willing to deal with it? Like, that's what I said. My first call would be to the Braves. My next call would be to the Rangers. Then probably the Padres. And it's tough because there's, with this extra wild card over the last few years, so many more teams are in it. It feels like there's fewer sellers, and the sellers wait until the very last minute.
Yeah, I like the idea of contacting the Braves. And it's just when you talk about the Padres, I get a little apprehensive just because Rob Bradford, who will be on Baseball Is Important coming up at 1 o'clock, I heard him on with Rich Keefe earlier this week, and he talked about how that if you trade Jaron Duran, and Jaron Duran, there has been a ton of smoke around the Padres wanting Jaron Duran and inquiring about Jaron Duran. So if you were to make a deal with them that involved Duran, Bradford even said that there would have to be some damage control done in that clubhouse because he is one of the leaders of this team right now. And that is something that I think was a clear impact with trading Rafael Devers, is you were setting a tone on the culture of the team, allowing Alex Bregman to really be a leader, allowing Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer to kind of learn from him and grow as their own individuals and players in Major League Baseball. And Rafael Devers wasn't any kind of negative impact on that clubhouse. And so if you then also remove one of the guys who has stepped up and become a leader in Jaron Duran, does that then create a negative domino effect for your team?
To me, it's all about the return, right? And I know Bradford said no on Joe Ryan, but like, if Jaron Duran walks out the door and Joe Ryan walks in, I think guys will be okay with it because they'll be like, this is a guy that's going to help us win the World Series. If it's the Devers trade part two, where it's guys that don't really help you right now, then I think that's a major problem.
Yeah, like, I don't want you trading Jaron Duran, and the best thing you're getting back is, like, Nick Pivetta.
But Duran's an interesting trade chip in that I think Abreu and Rafaela are at the point where I want them playing every single day, right? Abreu's your best power hitter right now with 18 homers, and he won a Gold Glove last year. Rafaela, best defensive center fielder in the AL. He hit .283 in June. He's hovering around .400 in July. Like, those guys, to me, got to be out there every day. So then you have Duran, Yoshida, and Anthony.
And Anthony's on a 10-game hitting streak.
And Anthony, too, as the number one prospect, they're probably going to want him to play as much as possible. So do you keep Duran as insurance in case Anthony hits a rookie wall? Or are you willing to move Duran? Because I know you mentioned the Padres, but the Diamondbacks would probably love Jaron Duran. So would the Braves. So would a lot of teams would probably. Even in a down year this year, there's a lot of teams that would like him.
I think the best version of this Red Sox team includes keeping Jaron Duran through the trade deadline, just because if you're able to add a starting pitcher like a, say, Nathan Eovaldi by only dealing prospects and then keeping Duran here for that rotation of the outfield and in case some guy eventually gets hurt, because a lot of times things just work themselves out, somebody gets injured, and then it's like, well, now we only have three anyways, they play every day. And so I think keeping Jaron Duran, especially the chaos he kind of could cause on the base pass, I think in the playoffs, that is...
That's valuable.
That's very valuable. And so I think just ultimately keeping him on this roster, having the four outfielders and kind of rotating them through, having Roman play DH sometimes, having him in the field, giving guys days off, is the best version of this Red Sox team.
Yeah,
ultimately.
And again, to me, it's all about the return. Like, if you tell me Roman Anthony has to play every day, but you're trading Duran to get Joe Ryan or whoever, Strider, whoever, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
If you're telling,
I'm listening if that's the case.
Right. That's the thing. And I think that's weird, too. And it's even beyond the Anthony thing. Like, you can factor Marcelo Meyer into this as well. And even Rafael and Abreu. These are all guys in their first or second year. Like, odds are one or two of them is going to hit some sort. And you could, Narvaez, another guy that could have been an all-star catcher.
Yep.
He, backup catcher, another sneaky thing you need at the deadline.
Like, true.
One or two of those guys is probably going to hit a wall. And if it's an infielder, all right, then maybe you can work around that and you can bring up, you know, Christian Campbell back up if he's ready. Or
give him another shot.
Something like that. If it's an outfielder, that's Durant. Like, that's your insurance policy.
Well, because then also you also have to take into consideration when you're facing left-handed pitchers, you're throwing Ref Snyder out there. Cause you're throwing Romeo. Like, those guys are hitting against lefties because they are mashing this year. So, like, that's another thing you have to – that's even more guys that you have to work into your rotation.
And I think the question with Romy Gonzalez, too, is, like, is he sustaining this? Because I think we've seen a lot of good moments out of him. We've seen some times where he hasn't been as good. He's been fantastic lately. So, is he – and that's enough. Like, if he's sustaining this – then are you more willing to trade a guy like Yoshida in a package with pieces? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
and
I would trade Yoshida tomorrow.
Right.
Like, that's...
But I think this deadline, to me, this is probably the most important deadline they've had since 2018 when they won the World Series.
Oh,
and that
easily.
Deadline, they got Pierce early and they did get Evaldi. But this is, the I'd say, the most important deadline. And they have the best chance because now their farm system is so good.
Yeah.
And you have a major league trade chip in Durant. Whether you choose to use it or not, you have a guy that you could potentially trade that I think, conservative estimate, half the teams in the majors would be interested in.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, like, I think that you have to be aggressive at this deadline, too. It's not just an important deadline. You also have to take the initiative and be aggressive in acquiring talent here to really improve your team because, what, 3 years in a row now they've been under 500 in the second half of the season?
Yeah, 22, like, 23, 24. They've been, and it's been
you
at least,
cannot afford that.
And it
this
hasn't
year.
Been just under 500. They've been at least 9 games under 500
yeah, that's
all three
horrendous.
Of those.
Horrendous. I think it's going to be imperative on Alex Cora to maintain the level of the locker room or the clubhouse and on Craig Breslow to be aggressive at this deadline to add talent to really help that.
And I think a 978 texter actually brought up a good point I hadn't thought of. Seattle Mariners, another team with a ton of pitching that could use some offense.
Sure.
Red Sox had some discussions with them about Tristan Casas in the offseason. So that's another phone call that's worth
Do paying. You think that's a guy that they could use as a trade piece too, by the way, is Casas? Like, it's, I know he's injured, he's out the rest of the year.
That's
but
the issue.
For a team like the Braves, right, who's 10 games below 500, maybe kind of looking ahead to things. I know they have Matt Olson and stuff, but like, is that a guy that you can use as a trade piece?
I think the nature of the injury, you can't, because teams want to see how does he actually look. It'd be one thing if it was a broken arm.
Yeah.
Then maybe, you know, something like that. But because it was such a severe leg injury and you wonder how is this guy even going to run, I think that I would say no. But that's another, like, the first base question, too. Right, they need an upgrade over Toro at first.
Yeah, he is.
Appreciate Toro's service. He's a nice utility guy. That's what he is. They need an upgrade there. But do they need a long-term upgrade? Like, is Casas not going to be the same guy? Or do they just need a guy for two more months? Like, I think that's another major thing, because I think their number one need is a starting pitcher. We've talked about it. I think the next thing is a legit first baseman, like, at the plate and in the field. And I think, and I know Josh Naylor's a name that's been linked to them and all that, but they need to figure out, is Casas going to be ready to go for spring training and be okay, or is he never going to be as good? And let's not forget, before he got hurt, he was not playing well anyway.
Yeah, no,
but
he was not.
Is he not going to ever be good again? Or is he going to be okay by May or April next year? Because that's going to factor, I think, hugely into their deadline, too.
617-779-793. God, if I could just get through the phone number and then say that's the call in line, that'd be good. 617-779-7937 is the number to call in. Let's go to Mike in the car. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering with you guys, your thoughts on this. I know Sedane, obviously, one of the best center fielders in the game. I always wondered why we didn't take and move Jaron Duran to second base, because that's where he played most of the minors. So I feel like he's fairly comfortable in that position. So I always thought moving him there and keeping Sedane in center, and then you got Anthony in left and Abreu in right. Is there any thoughts to why they didn't do something like that with Duran?
Thanks for the call, Mike. So if he played second base in the minors, I am unfamiliar with this.
And okay. I think he might have played it in high school or college a little bit, too.
Yeah,
it was college Zach.
Yeah,
entering Kenmore host Zach Coe. He knows all those details. I wonder if this year they did it because Rafael played some shortstop last year, so he had more recent middle infield experience. But I agree with the – I don't want Rafael out of center field.
No, neither do I.
And I don't want Abreu out of right field. So – and. Look, long term, the middle of your infield is Meyer at short and Campbell at second. Like that long term is it. And I think right now, Meyer's your second baseman until Story's gone. Fine, and Bregman's at third. So you still have this, like, unless Jaron Duran can play first base all of a sudden, you still have this
But you're not going to throw
him. No, and I know, like, it's not realistic. So, like, you still have this logjam.
Yeah, I think with the Red Sox, ultimately, right, when you look at 2026 and beyond, probably Jaron Duran probably isn't on this baseball team, because at the end of the day, it's probably going to end up being Roman Anthony, who's the number one prospect in baseball, Sidon Rafael, because you already signed him to a contract, you have a ton of control over him, and then Willy Abreu is already a Gold Glove caliber right fielder. So, like, I think that is probably going to be your long-term outfield, and so Duran becomes the odd man out. I think for this season, unless you're getting an insane upgrade at a starting pitching position or first base or both, I'm not trading Jaron Duran just because I think the best version of this team includes him. But you're right. He is a valuable trade asset. Let's go to Rick in Portsmouth. God, what am I doing today? Rick in Portsmouth. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Sean. Good to talk to you. I just want to say real quick, I think you do a nice job with the music on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Thanks, Rick.
And for the first time in a long time, I'm actually enjoying the Red Sox. I'm pretty cynical, but I'm really hoping that these guys, you know, turn it around today and can make some moves at the trade deadline and hopefully make the playoffs. That'd be a lot of fun for a change.
All right, Rick. Yeah, I think a lot of people are hoping the same thing. Thanks for the call. I know myself and Lions definitely want them to make the playoffs this year. It has been 3 years since you have even appeared in the playoffs. I would like you to get there and maybe win a game. That's all.
Yeah, and I think you have an extra wild card now. You look around at the AL. They're too talented to not be in the playoffs. And I was like, Nat Gordo and I had this conversation last week, and he made a good point. Last year, it felt like they went into the All-Star, and really the last few years, they went into the All-Star game with a decent record, but they were playing above their ceiling and everything was going right. This year, they had the 10-game winning streak, but for most of the first half of the season, they played below expectations. So they just play up to kind of what they can play at, which we've seen mostly with Crochet and maybe now with Bregman back, then that's a playoff team.
100%. And they should be a playoff team. Let's go to Gio in Andover. Go ahead, Gio.
Hello. The often overlooked guy is working for very low money in Arizona. And the only thing he doesn't lead the team in is saves. So I forgot the name of the pitcher who leads their staff in saves. But Merrill Kelly leads them in ERA, innings pitched, and strikeouts. And he's 36 years old. And he averages over six innings every game. So for the number three starter for us, not the number two, but the number three, he is absolutely perfect. And then if you add the player who comes in to move you closer to the closer, you've closed two of the weaknesses on the team in a way that the general manager would highly approve of.
Okay, Gio, thanks for the call. Yeah, so, look, I think
he'd be a good rental, I think, like, but
And be cheap. Like, that's the thing. If the Red Sox needed, if they were using a lot of their ammunition on, say they really wanted a first baseman, they went out, acquired a first baseman, and then they're like, okay, now we also want to add some kind of starting pitching, like, he would be probably a cheaper option. He's on a manageable contract. He's 36, and he's pretty good. But you would have to have a lot of confidence in Brian Baio, as you pointed out earlier, to slide into that number two spot.
Unless you think Merrill Kelly in a playoff series can be a number two. I mean, he was when they went to the World Series behind Zach Gallen. Granted, they didn't win that World Series, but he was at least when they got there. So maybe, like, he's an intriguing option to me, to the caller's point. And I think if you, you know, you acquire a guy like him, then you can maybe move Tanner Houck to the bullpen, help your bullpen out a little bit.
If you expect anything from Houck here in the second half of the season?
I think the ideal thing from Houck here is that you acquire a starter and Houck can help you in middle relief and kind of work. Because I don't know. He's been injured, and he was so bad.
So good last year, though.
I know. He's never been the same since Ohtani hit that homer in the All-Star game, it feels like. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, he's fallen. It feels like almost to me, and maybe I'll be wrong and he'll come back and be great, he almost feels like a guy that needs like a whole offseason to reset himself, because he didn't end last year well. He was really bad early this year. Now he's on the IL. I just wonder if they're better off. Let's say they get a Merrill Kelly, to the caller's point, and your rotation is, you know, Crochet, Kelly, Bayo, Giolito, and Houck is a middle relief guy.
Yeah, because I think entering the season, like, your hope was that it would have gone Crochet, Houck, and then Bayo, Giolito after that.
That was
and
my
then,
thought.
And then you're like, oh, nice. All right, if we get, you know, Cy Young candidate Tanner Houck with Garrett Crochet, and then Giolito and Bayo are pretty good, it's like, all right, our rotation looks really good. But because of his issues and struggles, it has really kind of thrown a wrench in everything and forces them to try and go out and acquire that starting pitching talent at the deadline.
Yeah, and I think the Houck injury has been part of it, and also the Buehler, you know, 11 ERA in June. It's kind of forced them into – I look at them right now. They're much better than they were last year. They're a good team. I just don't see them stacking up against the Tigers, Yankees, and Astros without one more higher-end starter.
413 texter really wants you to call the Royals for Seth Lugo.
I like Seth Lugo a lot.
You have, to your credit, you have mentioned his name quite a few times when you and I have done shows in the past.
Yeah, I do like Seth Lugo. And that's another guy that – he was excellent last year, not as good this year. Still, I think, a good player. Maybe wouldn't cost you as much as some other things. And the Royals, another team, they're not going anywhere this year.
617-779-7937. Shime and Lyons with you here on this Saturday on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Next, I think we're getting a crossover appearance from the one and only Rob Bradford right here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Lyons with you for another 10 minutes or so, not even quite. It's been a fun Saturday, though, Lyons. I've had a lot of fun with you today. We hit on a lot of different topics. Felt like we got around the world. It was great.
Yeah, this time of year, a lot of times people refer to it as the dead time in sports, but because of the Red Sox and their resurgence and the trade deadline and camp right around the corner for the Patriots, we actually had quite a bit to get to.
What are you more excited for, Patriots preseason or the Red Sox push for the playoffs?
So I'm going to go the Red Sox push for the playoffs because it's the playoffs. But football is my number one.
Yeah, they got to make a push for the playoffs, though.
Yeah, it's the playoffs.
Make an acquisition at the deadline, please, Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
That's, yeah.
Be aggressive.
Ideally before the deadline, but yes.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice. We'd have something to talk about for the 2 weeks leading up to Patriots preseason.
And
Patriots preseason is right around the corner.
I know, which is, what's it, August 8th is the first game?
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Saturday 1 o'clock game or something. Yeah. But it's an interesting week coming up because I could see this week, obviously Patriots training camp starts. I could see this week being the week the Red Sox do make some type of significant move.
I hope
right?
So.
We'll see. I could see the, because after the Cubs series, right, you'll have three full games back from the All-Star break, maybe a game or two into the Philly series, plus you have that off day next Thursday before the Dodgers series. I could see this week potentially, if they really want to get ahead of things and another team is open to it, this could be the week something happens.
Yeah, it'd be a great opportunity for them, and you can kind of get ready for that second half. Really kind of invigorate the team, the fan base, get everybody going, and lock in. Because that LA series, you get an acquisition heading into that Dodgers series.
Feel pretty good.
Place might be bumping a little bit.
Pretty good.
Oh, because you're going next Saturday,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, the 26th. Can't wait. I literally got the tickets in January. I'm not kidding. I was I have to go to Sox Dodgers. Yeah,
that's going to be awesome.
Cannot wait. Lining up for
look who's here.
It's Rob Bradford.
The man himself.
Let him get situated.
What's up, fellas?
What's
there
up,
he is.
Bradfo?
What's going on?
Not much.
I don't need any headphones. I don't need anything.
You can hear me.
Let's just talk.
Yeah.
Okay. So first question, is baseball boring?
No.
Okay,
no.
It's not boring.
I have t-shirts and stickers and hats.
Yes.
And
I actually have one of those.
Yeah. Both me and Thomas's shirt would tell you that.
Ooh, what?
Second question, water gun to your head. Who do the Red Sox acquire at the trade deadline?
Ooh.
One person.
One person.
One player the
you
Red
know
Sox
what?
Are going to acquire
the
at the
name
deadline.
You brought up, because I'm fresh off doing a podcast with the general manager of that aforementioned team,
uh-huh.
the Arizona Diamondbacks. Merrill Kelly scratches right where they itch.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, Joe Ryan will drive the bus in terms of conversation. As you probably know, we're very good friends, Joe Ryan and I. We did a very in-depth personal interview at the All-Star game.
Great audio you got at the All-Star
game. Oh, my goodness. Like, listen, being traded would be fun.
That sounded like a guy that wanted the hell out of Minnesota.
Well, but then he's like, I love it in Minnesota. And I'm yeah, I mean, and how about the pitcher, you know, with Crochet and Bregman?
Yes. And he's doing a little googly
eyes.
Yeah,
so
glasses.
Like, what was your take? So the more I looked at this is like the most interpreted video or piece of art since the Tom Brady walking in out of Gillette Stadium. I looked at it as the emoji eyeballs.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
Like they were just toying with everybody.
Yeah, I bet he would love to be a Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I don't
unfortunately,
think he would
the
mind
Twins
it.
Are not going to deal
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would mind it, but it's, you know, we're going to talk about this on the show, but it's such a like a pie in the sky thing. This is Crochet plus. Like, we have to understand that this guy's in the same spot that Crochet was last year. Where you have 2 years after that year, and same thing as Dylan Cease the year before, and the asking price for Garrett Crochet at the trade deadline last year was a lot different than what the asking price was when the offseason came around. Mm-hmm. In other words, names that rhyme with Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony were asked for, where, you know, that was just a non-starter in the offseason.
Of course.
So, and that's the same thing with Joe Ryan. Like, Derek Falvey, local guy, Minnesota Twins, president of baseball operations, he doesn't need to trade Joe Ryan. He knows that. He knows that. If he's blown away, fine. But to come back to the Merrill Kelly thing, you got to go listen to this podcast. I did it yesterday. I actually did it in the room over here. So, you know, the magic was flowing through the halls of Odyssey. And for all those people who say, I can't wear my hat backwards, too bad. So that's, I
think you looked great.
I mean, who cares? I don't care. But Mike Hazen is one of our favorite executives.
Abington, Mass.
Exactly.
Hometown of me and Zach Coe.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All the greatness comes
all
from
All the greatness
there.
Comes from Abbott.
And so he's been on the podcast a bunch, obviously former Red Sox executive, but he's a human being. He's just going to tell you what it's like. And they're obviously at a crossroads here as a Diamondbacks, but the crossroads is heavily leaning toward you got Kelly, you got Gallen, you got Suarez, you got all these guys in contract years, and he can't be blind to the fact that that can set him up. You look at teams at the trade deadline, guys, what's remarkable is it's not the be-all, end-all. You can still win if you make trades. I'm not talking about the Red Sox. The Red Sox should make trades. They can't possibly win. You know, they have to make trades. They have to make big trades for our sanity. But Detroit Tigers, last year at the trade deadline, to make the playoffs were 1.8%. 1.8%. And they made the playoffs.
And they traded away Jack Flaherty.
They traded away Jack Flaherty. And so, you know, that is a lesson that Mike Hazen maybe learned from. But to come back to it, Merrill Kelly, contract year. I just don't know if you're going to get the controllable, high-leverage guys at the trade deadline realistically. I just don't think you are.
Yeah, the ask will probably just be too high.
I think so.
Because for Merrill Kelly, it's just, what, a couple prospects and we call it a day kind of thing?
Yeah, and you know what? If you go back and I did the exercise a couple days ago about the prospects that teams traded in the last two deadlines, they don't hurt you.
No.
Like, they don't almost never hurt you. Yeah. Cole Reagans,
Chapman.
Yeah, Kyle Stowers, the guy from the Marlins. Yeah, that was a stupid trade by the Orioles. But go down the list. They don't hurt you. And for a guy like that, you can get a guy like that. But you also, you go back to the last 2 years, try to find the guys who are the high-end, controllable guys. The best name you're going to get is Zach Eflin. Well, Zach Eflin, fine. But still, you aren't going to get the Ceases, and you aren't going to get the Crochets, and you aren't probably going to get the Ryans.
Yeah, and it's tough because, like we talked about earlier, where some of these teams, like, why would the Padres want to trade Cease? They're like trying to win a World Series.
No,
like, you know, why would some of these teams do? Why, like you said, why would Minnesota trade Joe Ryan now when he's got two more years after this?
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that you guys, I love listening to you guys. It's what a day it is today.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
So, you know, this is when you're doing a radio show. You guys know this. You've done it enough. Where you're doing a radio show on a day like this, you have to embrace like what the reality is, which is people aren't gathered around their living room radio saying, hey, we're going to stay inside to listen to this great show. But the way to counter is please let me know where you're listening from. Yes. That's one of my favorite things. When we do the broadcast, where at Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, where are you listening from? New England? So that's what I want people to do. Where are you listening from? You know, if it happens to be the beach, fine. But when you guys walk out those doors, you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, what a day. This might be the best day ever.
I can't wait. There you go. This is Ben Scheim and Lyons with you on a beautiful Saturday. Rob, thanks for popping in.
Right.
Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, coming up next, what, 3 hours, Rob? Full three-hour show there for you?
Full three-hour show. We got our friend of the program, Brian Abraham, farm director, coming on at 2. And, of course, Gordo in studio, play Tessie, one of the hottest podcasts out there.
Thanks. Love it. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. We'll talk to you later. Have a great rest of your day and enjoy some Baseball Isn't Boring.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. And you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus. You must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.